The laugh you can hear, that's Peter Arnott. We're here today. Peter is the writer of our project, This View of Life. So I'm just here to catch up on the project. Do you want to tell us, first of all, Peter, how This View of Life came about?
Well, it came about because I'm the writer in residence at the National Library of Scotland. And when I took that job, it was going to be about Charles Darwin and the centenary. But I basically said to them, I bet you I can get you a theatre project that'll happen for kids. Mm-hmm. And they said, can you really? I said, yes. I know these people, you see. And so I came to Guy Hollins initially and said, how about this? And what's happened is now the National Library of Scotland has become a theatrical co-producer with the SITS. Mm-hmm. So we are putting together this show. And we went to spoke to the Hunterian Museum, which is where it's happening, and also to the National Library of Scotland itself, and the Summerlee Heritage Centre. So it's a kind of three-way collaboration of the idea of bringing primary school children, primary 6 and 7, to see a show about evolution and Charles Darwin, and they come to these rather amazing places to see it.
Okay.
And hopefully it plants a few seeds.
Excellent. And in terms of teaching the kids about Darwin, so how does the story work? How does the play actually work?
With enormous difficulty. I've never rewritten anything so much in my life. Because what I wanted to do, and this it seems insane in retrospect, but I think it's worked in the end, is I wanted to imitate Darwin's method of argument. And what he did was he accumulated arguments. I mean, if you ever read The Origin of Species, which you really should, mm-hmm. I mean, even though it's a Victorian science book, it's just a great read, mm-hmm. I think. Because what he does is he knows he's straying into extremely dangerous territory. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't make great rhetorical pronouncements at the beginning of his book, which he then tries to justify, which everybody else did. What he does is he builds his argument very, very slowly from the ground,
okay.
Starting with pigeon breeders. And eventually saying, I wonder if this happens in nature too. And then it goes to natural selection, the struggle for existence, and just builds the ideas. And by the time you get to what he calls the end of his long argument, it's a brilliantly sequential putting together of this thing. And he just in the end of the book, he just says, there's no other way it could be. And it's very modest and it's very quiet. However, being neither modest or quiet, the theatre process. We've done a play, which is more or less the idea is to kind of deflect the learning onto the cast, so that the kids don't feel they're at a science lesson. They are watching a play about people being taught something,
mm-hmm.
so that about what teaching is like, what learning is like, and it's quite a personal story because the three characters who go with our time traveler machine man. We built a fantastic time machine, by the way, which has been built in the story by Professor Cuthbert Cronos.
Yes.
Yes. And he is then takes these three unlikely types for a journey where they meet Charles Darwin, only they don't because it's him in disguise and all that. Anyway, the three of them are all very different, and difference being helpful in Darwinian terms, obviously, but they're very different in that you've got one character, Kate, who is a bit of a know-it-all, but doesn't feel what the knowledge might mean.
Okay.
So in a sense, she has to be made to feel it. Daphne, who feels things all the time, but isn't confident enough to articulate it, so she has to be taken on her journey. And lastly, and most difficult, Bob, who neither feels it, nor knows it, nor cares. So therefore, he's the real prize.
Excellent.
If Cronos can get to him, he can get to anyone. And that's more or less what the journey of the play, I hope, is. And through these three people, they should act, I hope, as surrogates for the kind of cross-section of different kinds of pupils. Some of whom, I mean, we've done one kind of try-out performance. And we had one little boy called Mohammed who knew all this stuff. I mean, he knew exactly when the dinosaurs were. He knew exactly, you know, he knew about natural selection. He knew all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's great. And there'll be one or two of those in any given primary 6 or 7 class. There will be one or two people who kind of think, that's all a bit creepy. And we do things like breaking eggs to demonstrate natural selection. That's quite good,
mm-hmm.
and a bit brutal. And various things like that. But hopefully the idea is that the emotional and intellectual responses of the audience are mediated through that of the characters. That's the theory.
Yes.
Plus the Darwinian argument of building things up slowly, 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 until you get to the end. And that's, you know, it's been a... But getting there has been traumatic. We were there now, and we have a terrific cast, C.B. Ritchie, Linda Cuthbert, George Doherty, and Louise Brown, who's actually mainly hasn't worked as an actress for years.